Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. You know, 40 years ago, a fellow could buy a newspaper for 2 or 3 pennies. Now he has to pay 3 times that. The only thing is, the news these days just isn't 3 times as good.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you tonight, transcribed, the heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. To those who live there, it's a home. To those driving through, it's a delightful country town. There's a wealth of apple trees that everyone's proud of, and a tall grain elevator, a bus and train depot, and, of course, a weekly newspaper. The office of the Elyria Gazette sits on one side of the town square and is a meeting place for many of Will's friends who drop in to pass the time with him and with Maggie Button, his assistant. It's early evening now, and almost time for the paper to go to press.
Maggie?
Hmm?
Here it is, all finished.
What's finished, Will?
My editorial for this week's issue.
Ah, let's see what the flame torch of journalism is dedicated to this week. Will?
Huh?
Soybeans.
Yep. Ran into a fellow who knows more about soybeans than any other man alive, I guess. He spent maybe 5 hours telling me all about them. You think I ought to write about something else?
Where'd you meet this bean expert?
Out fishing.
Oh, well.
Well, they say no man ever committed a major crime who smoked a pipe, owned a dog, or went fishing, Maggie.
Sure. Well, what did O.J. say?
Well, he thought the fellow who knew all about the soybeans was pretty interesting, too. I introduced him.
I mean, what did O.J. say about the mortgage, Will? Did he say yes?
Well, no, not exactly, Maggie. You see, he's got a kind of powwow with the board of directors after supper tonight.
Oh?
It gives them all a chance to smoke cigars they can't smoke around the home. Oh, I'll get the extension all right. Always have.
Mr. Rogers? Mr. Will Rogers?
Yes, ma'am.
I am Mrs. Fenimore Hannibal.
Yes, ma'am. I recognized you when you walked in the door. This is Maggie Button, my assistant editor.
How do you do, Mrs. Hannibal?
How do you do? Mr. Rogers, I am chairman of the Elyria Civic League, and this afternoon there was a meeting.
I should have covered that, Maggie.
At that meeting, the entire membership, and they represent every prominent family in Elyria, passed a resolution condemning the Elyria Weekly Gazette and its editor. I introduced the resolution myself.
Well, now that's mighty interesting, Mrs. Hannibal.
Mr. Rogers, the League feels very strongly regarding the article you announced you were going to publish concerning Lance O'Neill.
I suppose they've got a reason.
They certainly have, Mr. Rogers. Mr. O'Neill's reputation as a romantic adventurer and troublemaker is unsavory to many of the people in this community who remember him when he resided here, including his name in your series on distinguished men and women of Elyria is unthinkable.
Well, now, of course, I never knew him when he was alive, Mrs. Hannibal, but I do know that a lot of folks think he was a pretty good painter. Why, over in Paris, at those academies, they've got maybe 5 or 6 pictures painted by Lance O'Neill of Elyria.
I feel, and the League agrees wholeheartedly, that an artist whose only local work is painted on the saloon wall can hardly be a fit or edifying example for our younger generation to look up to.
Well, now, I doubt if many of our younger generation get over to Huckabee's Bar and Grill much, Mrs. Hannibal.
What about the article, Mr. Rogers?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Mrs. Hannibal. I'll look into it a little more and let you know. Is that fair enough?
If you choose to ignore the wishes of the people of this community and print a word about Lance O'Neill, you will be the one to suffer, Mr. Rogers. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah, I guess that's clear enough.
Then good day, Mr. Rogers. Miss goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hannibal.
Those narrow-minded old Betty.
Now, Maggie, they've got a right not to like the way I run the Gazette if they want to.
Well, What are you going to do about this resolution?
Print it.
Well,
guess our readers will be interested in what the League did at their meeting this afternoon. Where's my hat?
Well, where are you going?
Over to Huckabee's Bar and Grill. Like I told Mrs. Hannibal, I'm going to look into it a little more.
What'll it be, Scribbler?
I'll just have one of those hard-boiled eggs.
A hard-boiled egg. You newspaper fellas, you're real big spenders. A little salt for a chaser on the house.
Thanks, Bert. Bert, I'd like to talk to you about Lance O'Neill. Is it true he was a troublemaker?
Who told you that?
Mrs. Hannibal.
Oh, you mix with the elite these days, huh? The bon ton, the cream de la cream. Mrs. Fenimore Hannibal herself,
I take it that you and she don't quite...
Have I breathed a word of criticism? No, I wish this town had a dozen like her.
You do?
Uh-huh. Right now, I've got 100. Troublemaker. Hey, whose glasses are the shiniest in the state?
Yours.
And whose ale pipes are the cleanest?
Yours.
Then I'm a man whose opinions are entitled to respect. Am I right, Horace Greeley?
Right, Bert.
Okay, then, you listen to me. Lance O'Neill was a troublemaker. He disturbed a lot of people. He used to laugh out loud. And that annoyed a lot of pickle pusses who didn't see anything in this life to laugh about. He enjoyed just being alive. He didn't do any of the conventional things, and you'd be surprised how many just plain envied him for that. You paying mind, Arthur Brisbane?
I am, Bert.
Aye. And after he left town, instead of coming to the bad end everybody knew he would, he double-crossed and got world famous. I don't think they'll ever forgive him for that. You see that painting on the wall? Well, look at it.
I'm looking.
Well, this town was so pleased at having spawned a genius that it almost starved him to death. He put that up there on my wall in gratitude to me for letting him live on my free lunch and slipping him a few dollars every once in a while. He put it there in 1910, and I've had enough big offers for it ever since. I could have retired if I wanted to retire. Now, what do you think of that?
You liked him a lot, didn't you?
Me? I think he was crazy. Look at the way he painted that orchard, like it was in heaven. They tell me he left pictures of this town all over the world, and each one makes it out to be a paradise. Ah, if I was him and been treated as he was, I'd have made it like the other place, I can tell you.
Thanks a lot, Bert. I'm going back to the office and write that article now.
All right, just a second, Mr. Pulitzer.
Yeah?
That ad I have in your paper, it brings no trade at all. Well, so make it a bigger, more expensive one. Let's see what happens. Huh?
Thanks, Bert.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. All right, ma'am. Effective at once. Well, every friend of Mrs. Hannibal and every member of her league have been calling up and canceling their subscription.
Sure enough.
Will, put down those notes and listen. 11 of our advertisers' names are on that list of people who signed the resolution. 3 of them have already canceled their ads. The bank isn't going to like that.
Don't you want me to print the article, Maggie?
It's not what I... Of course I do, Will. I'm just talking dollars and cents.
I kind of guessed you were.
Hello, Daddy. Miss Button.
Hello, Jill.
How
honey.
Are you, Jill?
What do you got there?
Mrs. Weatherwax put up some supper for you, Daddy. There's enough for you, too, Miss Button. Chicken, butter beans, cornbread, and chocolate cake.
Oh, thanks. No, honey, I'm full. Been eating my heart out all day.
Yeah. What's the news from the
Hello,
front?
Hello, Doc. Sit down.
Thanks.
Here, Jill, honey. Go get yourself an ice cream cone.
Wait a minute. Here. Get 2 of them.
Wait a minute, Doc. Might make her sick.
Now, let's not be narrow, son. Let an honest tradesman drum up a little business for himself.
What do you say to Doc, Jill?
Come more often.
Yeah, that's my girl. Always be honest. Just for that, Jill, I'm going to marry you.
You're a little too old for me.
Oh, nonsense. I'm only 6 times your age.
But in 10 years, when you're 20 and I'm 70, I'll only be 3 times your age. 20 years after that, you'll be 40 and I'll be 90, and that's only about twice your age. Pretty soon we'll be even. Then we'll get married.
You'll have to ask my daddy. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, honey.
You've done a good job with her, Will. You ought to be proud. Her mother'd be proud, too. She reminds me more of Ann every time I... Well, you put the paper to bed yet?
Yeah, we haven't quite tucked it in.
Good. I got some news. I've been out at the Ferguson place since 4 this morning.
Shouldn't take Molly Ferguson 16 hours to have a baby. Not with all the practice she's had.
Yeah, but this is the first time she ever tried triplets.
Triplets?
Hear that, Maggie? Isn't that just fine? Tear out that box with the senator's speech and put in a birth notice about the Fergusons.
Well, that speech is pretty important.
Well, not to the Fergusons and their friends.
What are they, Doc? Boys, girls?
Look here, I wrote it all down, Maggie.
Good, thanks.
Boy, that is a good-looking woman. And I'm a man who appreciates a good-looking woman. I might marry her instead of Jill. Do I have to ask you about her, too?
No. Maggie just works for me.
Okay, then why don't you marry her?
Huh? How was everything out in the countryside, Doc? I haven't had a ramble in weeks.
Oh, it's the prettiest summer I can remember. Flowers just busting out. I picked a bunch on the way back, stopped at the cemetery and put some on the wife's grave. I put some on Ann's, too.
Thank you, Doc.
How's everything in the city side?
Oh, just...
Yeah, don't tell me. I heard all about it. Well, Lance O'Neill was one of the few people turned out of this town who gave himself to something he believed in. Oh, sure, old Charlie Rice built a railroad, and Ben Adams practically took over Wall Street once he got to New York. But 100 years from now, they'll be looking at Lance O'Neill's work and calling him a genius. You'd have liked Lance, Will.
I think maybe I would, Doc.
You know, you can tell a lot about a man when you bunk with him. And he and I roomed together during the summer and fall of 1912. That was his last year here, the year I graduated Hopkins. I still got some of his things around the house.
Well, if his story turns out to be responsible for my premature death, I'll will my cadaver to you.
You won't die from it.
No, but the paper might. In fact, it will if O.J. and his board of directors don't extend my loan. See that light upstairs at the Farmers and Drovers?
Yeah.
Well, they're debating it now. Uh-oh, my nemesis.
What did you say?
My nemesis, Mrs. Fenimore Hannibal, has just turned into the Farmers and Drovers.
Yeah, relax, son. She's probably going in there just to say goodnight to her money. I wonder how much she'll leave when she goes.
All she has, same as everyone else.
Yeah, but this is an awful healthy town, though. Most salubrious climate in the state. Did you know we had to import 2 corpses from Chicago to start the cemetery here?
Doc, why do you suppose that as far as Lance O'Neill is concerned, a man world famous for his art, this town acts as though it had spawned another Jack the Ripper or a Typhoid Mary?
Well, the way I figure it, Will, somebody's just mad or scared or both.
That's kind of the way I figured it too, Doc. Hi. That you, O.J.?
Well, I missed you at the office after the board meeting, and I figured you were on your way home, so I just drove over here and I sat in your porch and I waited for you.
Like a bottle of cherry pop?
No. Thank you, Will. Well, we dealt with your request, Will. I thought you'd like to know the bank isn't going to foreclose.
Well, I sure appreciate your coming by to tell me, O.J.
Well, it's going to be out of our hands from now on.
What's that, O.J.?
The bank had a fair offer for your mortgage tonight, and, well, they accepted it. We sold your mortgage.
Who to?
Mrs. Fenimore Hannibal. We have to, Will. It's good business. Well, I just dropped in to tell you the news.
Oh, say, that's a good one. Me telling the newspaper editor the news. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I must run along now. Good night, Will.
Night, O.J.
Hello, Daddy.
Jill. Baby, what are you doing out of bed? It's late. Jill, Let me look at you. What's that smidge on your cheek?
I had a fight with the Benbow kids.
Which Benbow kids?
All four of them.
Chill, baby. You know I don't like you to fight.
Well, it was a matter of family honor. They said you were a mortal leper.
What?
A withered sepulcher.
Huh?
So I piled into them. What do those words mean?
Never mind. They must have heard their folks saying them.
Anyway, they licked me. I guess I didn't uphold the family honor too good. Daddy?
Yes, baby.
Are you sorry you don't have a whole bunch of children instead of only just me?
Come here to me, Jill. Jill, honey, did I ever tell you about the time that all the beasts of the forest were boasting about how many offspring they had?
Uh-uh.
Well, the rabbits were the most of it, because they had dozens, you know. And the pigs were sort of snooty, too. They had whole litters at a time. Then they finally asked Mrs. Lion how many she had. And she said, only one. But that one is a lion. Understand, baby?
Oh, Daddy, you're so beautiful.
You're listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. Tomorrow night on most of these same stations, Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman, one of Hollywood's foremost couples, inaugurate the new Thursday Theater series for CBS Radio with an adaptation of the James Hilton novel Random Harvest. Don't forget, tomorrow night on CBS Radio. And now we continue with the second act of tonight's show.
Not yet.
Time's getting short. It's past 3. I have to be finished by 10.
That's the trouble with time, Maggie. It's like a good cigar. Always too short.
Will, you been foreclosed yet?
Not yet, Doc. She hasn't sent word.
You decided what you're going to do?
Yep. I'm going to finish the article on Lance O'Neill and put the paper to bed.
Against Mrs. Hannibal and the League?
No, Doc. For Lance O'Neill. He just painted. He never heard of the Civic League.
Good boy. Oh, say, I dug around the house among some of his old things. Here's some ammunition you might use. Lance O'Neill's diary.
Cat.
Thanks, Doc.
I got a call to make, or I'd stay and see the fun. Oh, look up his entry for June 2nd, 1909. I think you'll find it interesting. Good night, you two.
Maggie, will you make up a small notice to the effect that after this issue, the paper is no longer in my hands.
Well, you still have over a column to fill. What about the county agent's crop report?
No, I think I'll just enlarge the O'Neill article. Maybe something in this diary. What was the date Doc mentioned?
1909, June 2nd.
April, May. Here it is. This day, I went into the field with my darling and... Maggie! O'Neill used a real live model for that painting in Huckabee's.
So?
Clara Chase.
Never heard of her. Who was she?
The girl who later married Fenimore Hannibal.
Mrs. Hannibal?
Yes!
Let me see. Made sketches for the portrait all this noon. How Rubens would have loved flesh tones like my Clara's. Reclined beneath the apple tree. Low-hanging branch... Perfect composition. Well, it's Mrs. Hannibal who's been on display at Huckabee's all these years. Mrs. Hannibal?
That's what the man says.
Oh, wait till the town reads it. Well, we better run off a couple hundred copies extra, huh?
Maggie, you advise me to print it? It could hurt her real bad.
She's hurting you real bad. Will, you haven't any doubts about using it, have you?
Yes, I have doubts.
Well, you better clear them up real fast, then. That press has to start rolling in 20 minutes.
What time is it?
After 10.
We missed the band concert.
Don't we always on the night we have to put her away?
Seems. Now that the paper's gone to press, Maggie, do you think I did the right thing?
You never did a right thing, Will. Uh-oh.
What?
Crossing the square.
Huh? Charlie Vernier. I forgot. The bank said he was coming over on legal business.
Good evening, Maggie. Well?
Hi.
Why, Charlie, what are you doing all by yourself? You slipped your leash?
I was instructed to meet Mrs. Hannibal here this evening.
I suppose it's about taking over the mortgage.
It is.
This all pleases you a great deal, doesn't it, Charlie Vernier?
Oh, Maggie, I didn't mean that...
Well, Charles, did you tell her?
Not yet, Mrs. Hannibal. I thought perhaps
Mr. Rogers, I think you've already been informed that I now hold the mortgage on this property.
I know.
And I believe you've made a request for an extension of time in which to pay your note. That request is denied. Can you pay the note now?
No, I can't, Mrs. Hannibal.
Then I foreclose.
I see.
However, I'm told you're a fairly capable young man, and if we can agree as to salary and other things, you may remain editor. I plan no great changes, just a slightly different emphasis in policy. To begin with, all advertising contracts with Bert Huckabee are hereby suspended.
Go on.
And, of course, the article on Lance O'Neill himself will not appear at all.
Well, now that's a little impossible, Mrs. Hannibal.
Careful, Will.
Mr. Rogers, this is my paper now. I'll run it as I see fit.
Too late. This week's issue has already gone to press.
I see. And it contains the article that the League so strongly opposed?
I'm afraid so, Mrs. Hannibal.
You're fired. Tell him he's fired, Charles.
You're through, Will.
Now, wait a minute, Charlie. Mrs. Hannibal, you're both a little whopper-jawed.
What?
My note doesn't fall due until tomorrow. Until then, I own this property and I run this newspaper. I used an extra column for that article on Lance O'Neill, Mrs. Hannibal, because I ran across some extra material. Here.
What's that?
It's Lance O'Neill's personal diary, Mrs. Hannibal.
Personal diary?
Very personal diary. For the year 1909.
Let me see a copy of that paper.
Won't be off the press for another hour. You can see it then.
Is there any way to stop it, Charles?
Well, I can try, Mrs. Hannibal. Maybe I can get Judge Myers out of bed and have him issue a court order.
Get busy. Go and do it right now.
Yes, Mrs. Hannibal, right away.
It'll take a better lawyer than Charlie, and a lot different laws than we got right now, to stop any paper in this country from being printed, Mrs. Hannibal. But I'll tell you what. Most of the material in my article came from that diary. Now, you can take it with you and look at it if you want.
Oh.
Right, Mrs. Hannibal.
Oh, well, she took that part pretty hard.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering how she'll take the rest of it. I hate to wake you up, honey, but I've got something I want to talk over with you.
Well, sure, Daddy.
Jill, a few years ago, when I came here with your mother, you were just a little girl then, I said to myself that this was the place for me. The place. I thought that here's where I'd find the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees and the lemonade springs where the bluebirds sing and the big rock candy mountains. I guess maybe I didn't do so well.
What do you mean, Daddy?
What would you say if we didn't live here anymore?
Don't we like it here anymore, Daddy?
Oh, I like it fine, Jill. But there's something else. Jill, if somebody wanted to take something you loved away from you,
and you suddenly found out that you could take something away from them that was pretty important to them, what would you do?
I'd try to do what was right, Daddy.
Sometimes it's pretty hard to tell right from wrong.
Like an apple?
Huh?
Well, sometimes an apple's ripe, then sometimes it's rotten, and you can't tell the difference until you bite into it.
Well, that's about it. Stay here a minute, baby. I'll see who it is.
All right, Daddy.
Well, hello.
I'm sorry to be calling so late, Mr. Rogers. But I saw a light and I wanted to talk to you.
Come in, Mrs. Hannibal.
No. Oh, I'd rather stand here in the dark. Mr. Rogers, I've read this diary.
Yes, ma'am.
I came to tell you that I'm glad you wrote an article on Lance. He was a wonderful, creative man that anybody could be proud of. Particularly a woman he loved and didn't deserve any part of his love.
Now, now.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers. I suppose I wanted you not to write the article because I was afraid you'd somehow connect me with him and it would ruin me here, make me a laughingstock. But now that doesn't seem to matter much. It's funny, finding you were really loved by a man who's been dead 20 years. Well, I don't have to go into that.
No, ma'am.
Well, I came to tell you something else, Mr. Rogers. First thing in the morning, I'm selling the mortgage back to the bank and recommending they give you a 90-day extension on your note.
Well, now that's mighty decent of you.
And I want to thank you for letting me see this diary.
Why don't you keep it?
I will. Always. Well, I don't suppose I'll be seeing you ever again. I think I'll be leaving town very shortly, since it'd be impossible to live here after the truth is out. I'm not ashamed of it, but acting as I have, I'm just...
Wait a minute, Mrs. Hannibal. Here. Here's a copy of the paper. They just began running them off when I left the office.
Oh.
It wouldn't have served any public interest to tell folks about you and Lance, or how you posed for him now and then. I thought that what was in that diary sort of belonged to you and him, nobody else. So you won't find your name in the paper, Mrs. Hannibal, anywhere.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Rogers. Good night.
Daddy?
Yeah, baby?
How was the apple?
I'm just beginning to taste it now. Nice and ripe, and not a bit rotten. Come on, baby, it's bedtime.
You have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Tonight's story was written by Walter Brown Newman and E. Jack Newman and is produced and transcribed by Norman McDonald. Featured in the cast were Parley Bayer as Doc and Mary McGovern as Jill, with Howard McNear, Byron Kane, and John Daner. The special music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Bob Lamond speaking. And remember, Thursday nights, enjoy thrilling dramas of romance presented on the CBS Radio Network.